just saying, this is my station.
Oh, so it's just a figure of speech.
There you go. So please say, make mine 88.9 and support WCVE Public Radio.
And thanks.
Time now to call in Jeff Shapiro from the Richmond Times-Dispatch for his regular Friday morning analysis of Virginia political and government news. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, Wayne. Hi, Bill.
The General Assembly returned to town today for two purposes. First, let's talk about the reconvened session to deal with the governor's vetoes and amendments. Hit just some of the highlights on the legislators' actions.
Right, legislature wrapping up business from the winter session. Governor gets a chance to rewrite, recommend changes, or veto legislation from the winter. And one of those vetoes, actually a very important veto by the governor, an increase, $1 million increase in medical malpractice caps, overridden overwhelmingly by the House, just barely by the Senate. The legislature also rejected an attempt by the governor to weaken this much-debated autism treatment bill. However, the legislature agreed to the governor's recommended restrictions on these entities that would provide health care for the underserved. Specifically that no money would be used to finance abortions. The legislature rejected the governor's attempt to get the public employee pension system in the business of offering self-managed pensions, if only on an optional basis. But the big story, of course, is that power game, that stomach-churning exercise in political sausage-making, redistricting. And the House and Senate have pretty much approved their own plans. They're now getting ready to slice up the congressional maps, and there are a lot of complaints, that all these bills cut out controversial incumbents. Ward Armstrong, the minority leader from Henry County, he gets it in the neck. That partisan interests are put ahead of local interests. Hanover County, for example, like Gaul, is divided into three parts, three Senate districts rather than one. And now the governor has to make heads or tails of this, and he's kind of in a spot because he's promised to depoliticize redistricting, but if he pushes the House and Senate around or tries to push the House and Senate around, he may inflame relations with the legislative branch.
Former Governor Tim Kaine finally revealed his intentions to run for the U.S. Senate seat to be vacated next year by retiring Senator Jim Webb. He announced in an unusual way that he is, in fact, running, and he had a press conference on the Capitol grounds to kick it off.
Correct. Announcing with a tweet online and then a video online. This is really important. This is a standard operating procedure now with politicians. It's their way of taking the story over the heads of the press, of the reality-based media, as Karl Rove calls it. This is the conclusion of this lengthy and rather awkward striptease by Tim Kaine. Remember that tweet heard around the world when he indicated to his class out at the University of Richmond that he would likely run, and one thing led to another, and voila, he was forced to basically say, yeah, I am running. Now, what he didn't say is probably more important than what he did say. No mention of his best friend, Barack Obama, perhaps an indication that the governor needs to kind of establish some distance between himself and the president. And also the governor has some challenges here, and more to the point, some potential problems. Three times tried to raise taxes, close highway rest stops, allegedly overlooked more than $1 billion for roads, and then there's that Yen Soaring release. You know, is this going to be the Willie Horton of the Virginia campaign of 2012? And it could be a marquee race, of course, against another former governor, George Allen.
Governor McDonnell has issued a Civil War proclamation, Civil War history proclamation, quite different from the one that he issued a year ago and got him in some hot water.
Yes, a politically correct Civil War History Month proclamation, and just ahead of the 150th anniversary of Virginia's secession from the Union. I believe that's April 17th. Of course, the governor's first try was an embarrassment for him, overlooking slavery. Even the president criticized McDonnell for that. There's another issue from early days that's coming back to haunt McDonnell, gay rights. This time, whether the state could force faith-based adoption groups to place kids with same-sex couples. Bob Marshall, a very conservative delegate from Northern Virginia, he wants the governor to derail regs that are kind of in process that would allow homosexual couples to adopt. And governor's not saying what he would do about this. Of course, he had some problems when it came to extending anti-discrimination protections to gay public employees.
We have about 45 seconds, Jeff, to talk about what possible ramifications there could be stateside if, in fact, the federal government has to shut down tonight for lack of budget agreement.
Well, no doubt there would be an immediate economic impact in Virginia, where there are probably north of 100,000 federal employees, probably pushing 200,000, I guess, if one includes a lot of those federal defense, the civilian employees as well. This is an opportunity, too, for two Virginians to kind of talk a bit about fiscal conservatism or fiscal sanity. Eric Cantor, the majority leader from Henrico, and Mark Warner, the senator from Northern Virginia. Cantor trying to accommodate the Tea Partiers, and Warner trying to buff up his old image as a fiscal responsibility freak.
Okay, time's gone for this time, so thanks to Jeff Shapiro of the Richmond Times-Dispatch. And we'll talk to you again next Friday.
Roger that.
Conversations with Jeff Shapiro, a regular feature of WCVE's Morning Edition. If you enjoy the political analysis that Jeff provides, along with Wayne Farrar here every Friday morning, and at certain times during the year, specially scheduled comments and opinions and perspectives on the political scene here in Virginia, then we hope you'll call and support that kind of reporting now with a pledge at 1-800-476-8440. Thanks to David, who called in to renew his membership from Richmond, and Edward called in to answer the challenge to nonprofit board members. That's a challenge from Betty Ann Dillon. She's challenging listeners who serve on boards of nonprofits. She will match your pledge up to $500. Just let us know on which board you serve when you call in with your pledge. We also had an answer to the challenge to lawyers. That came from Janice. The challenge was from Tom Williamson, a lawyer in Richmond. He believes there are a lot of other Richmond lawyers who listen to Morning Edition on WCVE, and he's using his Commonwealth Circle membership of $1,500 to encourage lawyers to join him. He'll match your pledge up to that $1,500 total. Just let us know that you are a lawyer when you call in. So thanks to Janice for doing that. Thanks to Kat for Maidens, and thanks to, I guess we already mentioned, Edward, who called in to renew his membership and to indicate that he is the member of a nonprofit board. But we'll say thanks again, Edward, for your call at 1-800-476-8440. Wayne, this time of the morning typically is a time when we maybe have more of a focus on the local. Frequently at 8:35 in the morning, we hear from local analysts and commentators, and not too infrequently at around 8:50 in the morning, we have another local feature of one kind or another.
Indeed, and in a minute or so, we'll call in Dan Rosenthal of WCVE, who's going to be talking to a Washington Post reporter who has written a book about the Reagan assassination attempt. It has new information in it and not previously published. And Del Quinton Wilbur, by the way, has been heard on Morning Edition previously, along with Jerry Parr, the Secret Service agent, who was protecting Reagan on that day, and it was his quick thinking that got the president to the hospital in time to save him from a much more serious life-threatening situation. And today, Dan is going to be talking to Del Wilbur about some other aspects of his research that went into the book, which is called Rawhide Down, Rawhide being the Secret Service code name for President Reagan.
Our own Dan Rosenthal doing some good reporting for us here at WCVE Public Radio. You hear Dan from time to time as a sort of a fill-in host here on Morning Edition, and we appreciate the range of help that Dan provides for us great long-term employee of WCVE Public Radio. And if you appreciate Dan's contribution, if you appreciate Wayne's contribution, if you enjoy the local content that's available only here on WCVE Public Radio, then we hope you'll support it with a pledge at either our website, ideastations.org/pledge, or with a telephone call to 1-800-476-8440. And Wayne, if people go to ideastations.org, they can have access to all this local reporting.
That's right, ideastations.org/archive. And shortly after we get off the air here at 9 o'clock, we'll be editing and publishing some of the locally produced stories you heard this morning. And they'll be topping our list of WCVE stories. And the new look of the ideastations.org homepage will also show you the headlines, if you will, of the most recent stories right up front on the homepage. And then you can click on more and go into the detailed stories and listen to them. But give us a little time to get off the air here and and go back and do that process.
We appreciate your support for that kind of service. It's one of our most popular pages on the Idea Station's website, the archive page. And I'd tell you something else, that the two most popular pages are the two pages that provide the audio streaming of our two stations, WCVE Public Radio HD1 and WCVE News Talk HD2. Those are the two most frequently visited web sections at ideastations.org. So thanks for visiting us online. Thanks for pledging online at ideastations.org/pledge. And thanks in advance for calling 1-800-476-8440.
Washington Post reporter Del Quinton Wilbur says many facts about the attempt on Ronald Reagan's life 30 years ago have never surfaced. Wilbur has written a minute-by-minute account of the assassination attempt by John Hinckley, the mentally disturbed loner who was trying to get the attention of actress Jodie Foster, with whom he was obsessed. Reagan, whose Secret Service nickname was Rawhide, and three others, including Press Secretary James Brady, were shot by Hinckley on May 30, 1981, in the nation's capital. WCVE's Dan Rosenthal talked with Wilbur and asked him about his research and what surprised him most about the shooting.
An unscreened 31-year-old in an operating room lined with Secret